Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is a Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, April 22nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Sri Lanka's bonds tumble after the deadliest terror attack in years.
Crude surges as the White House plans to end Iran oil waivers.
And Elon Musk sparks a public Twitter dispute with a key Tesla supplier.
There has been a claim of responsibility in Sri Lanka's deadly terror attack. Plus, House Speaker Pelosi speaks with the Democrats about the next move after the Mueller report. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees blew a big lead, but still beat the Royals in 10. The Mets hit 4 home runs, but lost in St. Louis.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are lower to start the week while equity markets in many countries are closed. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 9 points. Dow futures down 72. NASDAQ futures down 29. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield 2.56%, the yield on the 2-year 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.4%, up $1.56 to $65.56 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4%, up $5.10 to $12.81.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1247, and the yen, 111.92. John.
And Karen, Sri Lanka's stock market is closed in the wake of terror attacks that claimed at least 290 lives. And that's sparking concern about a slump in the nation's tourism industry. And Bloomberg's Haslinda Aman reports from Singapore.
This is not great news for a country that's forced to take a loan from the IMF recently. GDP at the slowest in 19 quarters. The rupee has been smacked down and record lows, all still reeling from the political crisis which we saw last year. Investors still have fresh memories of a country that's been plagued by civil war. Expect tourism in particular, a major contributor to the economy, to be hit. Sri Lanka, known for its beautiful beaches, that may be affected as well.
Sri Lanka's prime minister says the violence will likely lead to a downtrend in the economy. By some accounts, tourism accounts for about 5% of Sri Lanka's GDP.
The country's bonds are falling in the wake of the bombing. Still, Sri Lanka's central bank governor, Indrajit Kumaraswamy, tells Bloomberg he's confident the government can meet its debt obligations.
Clearly, there will be an impact, but these types of terrorist acts is something that the Sri Lankan people have had to experience in the past, and they've showed a great deal of courage and resilience in dealing with it, and the Sri Lankan system is capable of responding.
The attacks mark a return of violence to a country still recovering from a 26-year civil war. Ethnic and religious divisions have plagued Sri Lanka for decades.
Elsewhere in Asia, we saw the biggest equity moves in China today, where stocks started the week with a 1.7% slide. In the rest of the region, it was a rather quiet trading day. And Bloomberg's Yvonne Ban joins us from our Hong Kong bureau with more. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, John and Karen. A bit of a directionless day in Asia. Stocks were mixed as the Easter holiday weekend continued in many countries like Hong Kong, Australia, and New Zealand. While Japan and Korea ended the day flat, Chinese stocks and bonds fell on stimulus worries as officials signal less stimulus. That's ahead of a busy earnings week with more than 700 A-share companies due to announce results on Friday. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yvonne, thank you. Today's biggest mover is oil. Crude is surging after word the White House is ending waivers for buying oil from Iran. Sources tell Bloomberg the White House will allow waivers to buy Iranian oil without facing U.S. sanctions expire on May 2nd. Those current permissions apply to 8 countries, including China, India, Italy, and Japan.
And that could add increased significance to the next round of OPEC meetings. The group and its allies have their next meeting in late June. Daniel Hines is a senior commodity strategist at Australia and New Zealand Banking Group.
The rally is really forcing investors to rethink what OPEC will do in the upcoming meeting they have. All the noise and all the talk has been about that production cut agreement being extended, but certainly with prices now pushing into the 70s for Brent, I think there's certainly questions being asked about whether OPEC wants to push this market too far like it has in the past and obviously dent demand.
And right now, checking prices, Brent and NYMEX both up over 2%. NYMEX crude up $1.56 a barrel, and Brent is up $1.90 at $73.87 a barrel.
In Tokyo today, Carlos Ghosn was indicted on new charges of misdirecting company money for his personal use. They're the most serious allegations yet against the former chairman of Nissan Motor. Japanese prosecutors say Nissan lost $5 million that was funneled into foreign corporate accounts controlled by Ghosn.
And back here in the U.S., Elon Musk is taking one of Tesla's key suppliers in a very public fight. Bloomberg's Patrice Acura has details.
Elon Musk has sparked a public dispute with Panasonic, which makes the batteries that power Tesla's electric vehicles. It began with reports the companies are tempering expansion plans at their joint battery plant in Nevada. Musk responded by saying that Panasonic is to blame for operating at a reduced pace and that it's constraining production of Tesla's Model 3. The exchange is once again raising questions about Tesla's profitability, with concerns that Panasonic's reluctance to boost battery production may foreshadow other issues. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Patrice, thank you. And separately, Tesla says it's investigating a fire in Shanghai involving one of its vehicles. The company said it's sending a team to Shanghai and is in touch with local authorities. Shares of Tesla are down about 2.5% in early trading.
And it'll be a big week for corporate earnings. More than 150 companies in the S&P 500 reporting. With a preview, here's Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
We've had a decent start to the earnings season, but not enough to spur much risk appetite. Andres Garcia Amaya is the CEO of Zoe Financial.
CEOs are very good at lowering expectations. So even though we might get down 4% year-over-year earnings this quarter, I think the market might be pricing in for worse than that.
Among some of the big, well-known companies scheduled to report earnings this week, Boeing, AT&T, Caterpillar. We'll also be hearing from technology companies such as Amazon, Intel, Texas Instruments, Twitter, eBay, Snap, Microsoft, and Facebook. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And many markets remain closed today in Europe. Futures, though, are lower, with S&P futures down 8 points. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it is now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Sri Lanka is detaining 24 suspects as the death toll rose to 290 in coordinated blasts on Easter Sunday at churches and luxury hotels. According to Associated Press, a government analyst says the attacks were carried out by 7 suicide bombers. New York Archbishop Cardinal Timothy Dolan spoke about the deadly attack.
It just doesn't seem to end, does it? The persecution of believers throughout the world, and Christians especially.
Now, Sri Lankan officials say a local jihadist group is behind the Easter Sunday blasts. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will hold a conference call with House Democrats today, and the Mueller report and impeachment are sure to be on the agenda. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The heads of the Intelligence and Judiciary Committees both say today that impeachment is a possibility following review of the release of the Mueller report. Congressman Jerry Nadler on NBC.
If proven, some of this would be impeachable.
But Congressman Adam Schiff on ABC says even if an impeachment process was successful, the Senate wouldn't remove the president from office.
I think it's a very difficult decision, and we're going to have a caucus about this over the next couple weeks to try to figure out what the best course is.
He says an impeachment fight might even strengthen Mr. Trump's reelection bid. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, President Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani was asked about a U.S. presidential candidate taking information from Russian sources. Giuliani spoke on CNN's State of the Union.
There's nothing wrong with taking information from Russians.
There's nothing wrong with taking
information.
Depends
on where it came from.
The former New York mayor says Trump's opponents have falsely accused the president of crimes tantamount to treason. Ukrainian comedian Volodymyr Zelensky won a landslide victory in Sunday's presidential runoff. Incumbent Petro Poroshenko conceded defeat.
You may just look at the celebration in the Kremlin of the occasion of the election. They believe that with a new unexperienced Ukrainian president, Ukraine could be quickly returned to the Russia orbit.
Poroshenko says he will accept the will of the Ukrainian people. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, it's time down for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, the Yankees had the long flight to California. It was looking like it might be a depressing one. Depressed over the Aaron Judge injury and depressed over having a 5-0 lead on the Royals in the eighth inning and seeing Kansas City score six times in the eighth off Yankee relievers Chad Green and Adam Ottavino. But Austin Romine tied the game with a base hit in the eighth inning. And then came up in the 10th.
And Kennedy deals. Breaking ball hit in the air to deep right center. Heck will win the game. It's over Hamilton's head. Scoring is Tuchman. He hits home plate. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
John Sterling, WFAN. 7-6 the final as Romine is the hero. So the Yankees have won 5 of 6 despite all the injuries. Judge not on the trip to Anaheim. He's staying in New York for an MRI today. We'll learn more about the severity of that oblique injury. Yankees have won 5 of the last 6. Not a good weekend for Mets starting pitching. Noah Syndergaard struggled in St. Louis. The Cardinals won 6-4, though Syndergaard hit a home run. So did Michael Conforto, Robinson Cano, and Pete Alonso. Mets back home. They'll host the Phillies tonight. Strange weekend in the NBA playoffs where usually home court means so much. There were 8 games. Road teams won all 8. Yesterday, Boston at Indiana to finish a sweep there. Toronto won in Orlando. Golden State in L.A. over the Clippers. And Portland at Oklahoma City. So the Raptors, the Warriors, and the Trailblazers all with 3-1 series leads. And 2 wins by road teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Boston and Toronto. Late last night, San Jose double overtime in Vegas. Both those series are going to a Game 7. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John. Thanks a lot. And British football fans should be wary of rooting for their team by making them their password. Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, and Everton are all passwords that have been compromised hundreds of thousands of times. This according to research published by the National Cybersecurity Center. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This on a morning when futures point to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures right now 5 points lower. The Dow futures down 63 and the Nasdaq futures 25 points lower. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning while stocks in Asia were mixed as the Easter holiday weekend continues in many countries. Oil is jumping on a report the U.S. scrapped waivers allowing the import of some Iranian crude. Most markets across Europe remain closed. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 61, NASDAQ futures down 26. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.56%, yield on the 2-year 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.33%, up $1.51 to $65.51 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.20 to $12.81.20 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1249 against the dollar and the yen 111.92. Today we are watching for a report on existing home sales out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. Halliburton and Kimberly-Clark are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Sri Lanka has blamed a local jihadist group for one of Asia's deadliest terrorist attacks in years. The death toll rose to 290 in coordinated blasts on Easter Sunday at churches and luxury hotels which targeted foreign tourists and Christians. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi holds a news conference with House Democrats today, and the Mueller report and impeachment are sure to be on the agenda. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the Orioles and A's. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals and Giants. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics swept their 4-game series with the Pacers to advance to the next round. The Warriors lead that series 3-1 after beating the Clippers Sunday. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins have taken it to a deciding Game 7 after beating the Maple Leafs Sunday. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And let's bring in our first guest this morning. Chris Marenghi is Co-Chief Investment Officer at Gabelli Funds. Chris, happy Monday morning to you. Before I get into some of the nitty-gritty, let me read you a headline from the Bloomberg this morning. Trump can't escape Mueller as Democrats grapple with impeachment. My question to you this morning is, do investors really care about any of this?
Well, good morning and happy Earth Day as well. I think we've got political fatigue at this point. Investors, I think, have discounted the Mueller report already. And, I don't think the impeachment proceedings at this point are a sideshow. So I think the market is basically assuming that Trump finishes out his term and probably has a pretty good shot at winning another 4 years if he wanted it.
Let's talk about policy from the central banks, the dovish policy shift that we've seen from them. Is that enough to shore up growth, enough to overlook potential contraction in earnings?
Yeah, so we focused on a few things. We call them the three T's: Trump, trade, treasuries. You're touching on probably the most important T, that is rates. And clearly the Fed's pivot is what's fueled this turnaround in the markets in the first quarter. And so far, I think it's been enough to overcome a deceleration in earnings in the U.S. and the global economy. Investors are assuming that we now have a Powell put. We'll be, of course, listening to what the Fed says. But it appears that the Fed is going to be accommodated from here.
All right. The deceleration in earnings, that doesn't necessarily mean for you, though, an earnings recession, does it?
No, it appears. Obviously, we're not quite halfway through first quarter earnings season. Earnings have been a little bit better than expected. So if I had to guess, I would say that we're not going to get that earnings recession that so many had worried about. We'll probably at a minimum get some slowdown, but not an actual backtracking in earnings.
Okay, we have a whole week of company earnings to look forward to, especially with technology companies. What do you expect?
More of the same, which is again deceleration, but overall a pretty good picture for the consumer in the U.S. And that includes things like advertising spending. We'll see get a look into that this week with earnings from some of the internet companies and media companies, and a pretty good housing picture. Again, more data on that this week.
Okay, where are you guys deploying cash at this point?
Yeah, we're deploying cash in some of the industries where we have accumulated compounded knowledge. Those same industries we've been deploying cash in the past. It's mainly consumer, industrial. So certain areas of healthcare look interesting. Obviously, healthcare has had a pretty rough couple of weeks. Again, focused on the policy impact of who might be next, and probably over discounting what actually may happen.
Is there any cash on the sidelines for you? Is that any different than it has been in the past?
Well, look, I think we're opportunistic. We're looking for attractive returns over the next 3 to 5 years, and we're able to find those. We've got to dig a little bit harder today than we might have a year or two ago, but we are still finding some attractive opportunities.
Where would those be? Can you be more specific with that?
Sure. Again, one of the stocks I've talked about here in the past has been in the Liberty Complex, John Malone's Liberty Braves. It's baseball season, and this is a long-term investment in a baseball team that should compound over a long period of time, good inflation conduit, lots of catalysts, including spinoff and ultimately a sale of the team.
And they have to win, too, I would imagine.
That helps.
Hey, in terms of retail investor, can you tell me why this is such an unloved bull market? Where is retail?
Yeah, well, a significant amount of equity outflows in the first quarter of this year. A lot of that, of course, retail. Investors got spooked in the fourth quarter. Anytime you see a spike in volatility and the kind of downside we saw, money comes out and it hasn't returned. And I think that, as has been noted before, the risk is to the upside here, where some of that money comes flowing back into the market, fear of missing out, and we get a melt-up.
What kind of a melt-up? Give me a target, if you would, for the S&P 500 for the end of the year, about 10 seconds.
I don't think we're going to compound at 40%, but it's probably up from here.
Chris, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Chris Marenghi, Co-Chief Investment Officer at Gabelli Funds. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And this on a morning when futures in the U.S. point to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures this Monday down 5 points. The Dow futures, 58 points lower. And the Nasdaq futures down 25. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as investors return from the long holiday weekend. However, several markets in Europe and Hong Kong's Hang Seng remain closed for the Easter holiday. The stock market is also closed and bonds are falling in Sri Lanka following one of Asia's deadliest terrorist attacks in years. We'll have the very latest in just a moment in world and national news.
First, oil is trading near a six-month high. Bloomberg News has learned the White House plans to eliminate sanction waivers that allow buyers to import crude from Iran. Checking prices right now, we have Brent crude up $1.74. NYMEX crude is up $1.43.
At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the National Association of Realtors issues data on existing home sales for March. Economists are forecasting a retreat. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In February, home resales rebounded, rising to the fastest pace in almost a year, snapping a three-month losing streak. Single-family dwellings led the gain. Condos were little changed. February's median sales price was also little changed from a month earlier at roughly $250,000. The outlook remains positive, even if the March data retreat. Loans to buy a home rose to the highest in almost 9 years in the week ended April 12th. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. It's a busy week for earnings. More than 150 companies in the S&P 500 report this week. Today we hear from Halliburton and Kimberly Clark. Later in the week, Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook.
We also get a bevy of earnings from Europe in the week ahead. Deutsche Bank, UBS, Barclays, and Credit Suisse are all scheduled to report.
In Tokyo, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn was indicted on new charges of misdirecting company money for his personal use. That will keep him in jail longer. Ghosn briefly won his freedom last month after posting bail.
Shares of Tesla are down more than 2%. The U.S. electric car maker says it's looking into a fire in Shanghai involving one of its vehicles after a video of a car bursting into flames was circulated on social media. Meanwhile, Elon Musk is engaged in another Twitter spat, this one with a company that makes all of the lithium-ion battery cells that power Tesla. Musk says Panasonic is operating at a reduced pace that slows production of Tesla's Model 3. Right now, S&P futures are down 8 points. Dow futures are down 68. NASDAQ futures down 25. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. The yield 2.56%. The yield on the 2-year at 2.37%. And the euro at 1.1248 against the dollar. The yen at 111.92. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. And that's time for news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Sri Lanka has blamed a local jihadist group for Sunday's deadly terror attack. It comes as a Sri Lankan government forensic crime analyst says that the six near simultaneous attacks on three churches and three luxury hotels in and around Colombo on Easter Sunday were carried out by seven suicide bombers. At least 290 people were killed, according to Sri Lankan police. This morning, Sri Lanka's prime minister said his government will work to prevent terrorist attacks.
We are prepared to take all measures necessary to ensure that terrorism is contained and wiped out in this country.
At least 24 suspects have been arrested. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says that the Democrats will discuss whether to begin impeachment hearings of President Donald Trump after Progressive ratcheted up the pressure on a reluctant party leadership. Schiff spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
An impeachment is likely to be unsuccessful. Now, it may be that we undertake an impeachment nonetheless. I think what we are going to have to decide as a caucus is what is the best thing for the country.
His statements follow the release of a redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, which identified at least 10 instances of potential obstruction of justice and left it to Congress to decide how to handle them. Meanwhile, President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says there's nothing wrong with the campaign accepting information from Russian officials claiming Trump wasn't involved.
Any candidate in the whole world in America would take information negative
from a foreign source? From a hostile foreign source?
Who says it's even illegal? Who says it's even illegal?
The former New York mayor spoke on CNN's State of the Union. Ukraine's most watched comedian won a landslide victory in Sunday's presidential runoff as voters vented their frustration at the ex-Soviet republic's lack of progress since the revolution 5 years ago. Volodymyr Zelensky, a 41-year-old TV comic, soundly beat incumbent Petro Poroshenko. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy wants to propose a 20-fold increase in gun ownership fees. Murphy wants to raise the fees on gun permits in an effort to tackle gun violence and reduce the flow of illegal firearms. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's now 5:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, the Yankee injured list is up to 14. Only two in yesterday's lineup were in the opening day lineup. The latest injury, the biggest, or at least to the biggest player, Aaron Judge, out with an oblique.
It's tough, and that was one of my goals. I didn't want to, you know, get back on the, you know, the DL or anything, and especially tough times like this when a lot of guys are beat up. I wanted to be out there in the trenches with the guys, you know, every single day, you know, fighting through some tough times. But you know, it happens, and it's a tough spot.
Judge will have an MRI today in New York. Yanks will start a 10-game road trip in Anaheim. Despite all the injuries, they've won 5 of 6 to move over 500. More superb pitching from James Paxton. The bullpen blew a 5-0 eighth inning lead, but the Yanks topped the Royals 7-6 in 10. Austin Romine, 3 hits, 3 RBIs. He drove in the tying and winning runs. Mets hit 4 solo home runs, got nothing else. Lost in St. Louis 6-4. Noah Syndergaard hit one of the homers but took the loss. Mets will host the Phillies tonight. NBA playoffs, first team to advance the second round. The Celtics finished a sweep at Indiana. Golden State blew that 31-point lead in Game 2, but won Games 3 and 4 in L.A. over the Clippers. Toronto won at Orlando. Portland won at Oklahoma City. Both have 3-1 leads. Toronto Maple Leafs had a chance to win a playoff series, first time since 04, but lost to Boston 4-2, so Game 7's tomorrow. San Jose and Vegas, double overtime.
Alex Tuck receives the drop pass. Stastny tried the give and go with Tuck. Didn't work. Theodore holds the zone. Feeds it off the skate of Stastny. And the Sharks clear it ahead. It's Hurdle shorthand and a shot. He scores! Tomas Hurdle in double overtime sends this series to Game 7.
NBCSN, the call is the Sharks 1-2-1. With Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on inflation. Also in this week's issue, how nuclear power plants could struggle to survive climate change. Chris Flavell wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
We looked through all this documentation over the course of years, and we found that in the majority of cases, these plants had at least one kind of flooding risk that exceeded what they were designed for.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio, where it's 5:38 on Wall Street. It's time for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, John. Stop and Shop supermarket workers and company officials have reached a tentative contract agreement. It includes wage hikes for all associates and maintains health coverage. Company says the agreement ends employee strikes at 240 Stop and Shop stores in Connecticut, as well as Rhode Island and Massachusetts. New Jersey is pushing back adoption of a revamped Energy Master Plan till the end of the year. The State Board of Public Utilities is notifying stakeholders the plan, which is seen as a roadmap to guide the Murphy administration's goal of achieving 100% clean energy by 2050, will not come out in draft form until June. With a lot of mansions going unsold in Greenwich, Connecticut, the median price of single-family homes sold there shrank 17% to $1.7 million in the first quarter from a year earlier. Meanwhile, the number of luxury homes on the market jumped 68% to 232. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
Thanks a lot, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, we're talking about Boeing. Nations including Brazil, Australia, and China will take part in a technical review panel examining how the grounded 737 MAX jet was certified.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KRLD in Dallas. America's elderly are twice as likely to work now than in 1985.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on the end of a strike threat as Stop and Shop reaches a tentative contract deal with the union representing 30,000 employees.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Uber has secured a $1 billion investment from three Japanese companies.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And we have futures right now in the U.S. pointing to a lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures right now 5 points lower. That's down 0.2%. The Dow E-mini futures are down 69 points. That's down 0.3%. And the NASDAQ futures down 26 points. That is down 0.4%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And still ahead on Daybreak, our global roundtable to get you set up for the trading day and week ahead. We'll talk to reporters and editors in New York, London, and Beijing. This is Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures moving lower this morning while stocks in Asia were mixed as the Easter holiday weekend continues in many countries, with most markets in Europe closed today. Oil is jumping on a report U.S. scrapped waivers allowing the import of some Iranian crude. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 8.5 points. Dow futures down 70. NASDAQ futures down 27. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.56%. The yield on the two-year, 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25%, up $1.51 to $65.51 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.33%, up $4.70 to $12.80.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1248 against the dollar. The yen at 111.92. Today we are watching for a report on existing home sales at a 10 o'clock Wall Street time. Halliburton and Kimberly Clark are among the companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Thank you very much, Karen. A Sri Lankan government official says a local militant group named National Taufik Jamaat is responsible for the Easter Sunday suicide bombings. Officials say seven bombers carried out near simultaneous attacks on three churches and three luxury hotels in and around Colombo. Sunday's bombings killed at least 290 people, including at least 27 foreigners. About 500 others were wounded in the blasts. Officials said 24 suspects are in custody for questioning. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will hold a conference call with House Democrats today, and the Mueller report and impeachment are sure to be on the agenda. Several House Democrats left the door open to impeach President Trump. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff telling ABC's this week that Democrats may take up impeachment. However, the congressman says the decision will be made based on the, quote, best interests of the country.
The fact that a candidate for president and now a president of the United States would not only not stand up and resist Russian interference in our election, but would welcome it goes well beyond anything Nixon did.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the Orioles and A's. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals and Giants. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics swept their four-game series with the Pacers to advance to the next round. The Warriors lead their series 3-1 after beating the Clippers Sunday 113-105. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins have taken it to a deciding Game 7 after beating the Maple Leafs Sunday. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And, Michael, we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 5:50 on Wall Street. It's a big week for earnings. We get results for more than 150 companies in the S&P 500. Yeah, let's check the pulse on Wall Street now. After the first round of reports last week from big U.S. banks and the likes of United Health, Johnson & Johnson, Netflix, and IBM, Evan Brown is head of macro asset allocation strategy at UBS.
It's early days in the earnings season, but in general, the guidance that we're seeing is pretty decent. We're seeing some improvement. The commentary that we're hearing from companies is that things were pretty bad in January, February, but we're starting to see an upturn in March. And so overall, I think we're seeing a stabilization of the earnings guidance cuts that we've seen before. I think it's really a stabilization in global growth, right? We had a big downturn or deceleration in global growth the end of last year and coming into this year. Now you have the China stimulus. Now we have Europe slowly stabilizing as well. And the U.S. economy looks a little bit better than it did. So as the economy improves, then the earnings picture should improve as well.
And it's a big week for technology earnings with results due out from Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, and Snap. Sandy Bhagat is Chief Investment Officer at Whittier Trust. He sees most tech names outperforming their forecasts.
First of all, their earnings have been revised lower significantly. They're the third worst group in terms of earnings growth expectations. This low expectation sets the room for positive surprises. And this sector in particular is sensitive to how the China-U.S. trade war unfolds. There is every indication that it will be favorably resolved, probably in a month or so. So I do think that the sector may have too many negative expectations and is poised perhaps for some positive surprises.
And in Europe this week, bank earnings will be front and center with results from Credit Suisse, Barclays, and UBS. Elisa Martinuzzi covers European banks for Bloomberg Opinion.
You've got Credit Suisse under pressure to show that its investment bank isn't going to be a continuous drag on the firm. And there you could see a little bit of help from the credit markets where, you know, spreads have tightened. That could be positive for the bank. Then you've got Barclays itself in the midst of a very difficult transition and a difficult period in which an activist is trying to get themselves on the board, arguing the investment bank isn't where it should be. And, of course, this is going to be a tough quarter. So the key there will be to show whether Barclays has retained, if not gained, market share versus the peers. And then we've got UBS, which has already signaled that it's been one of the worst periods in recent history for the investment bank, and they've guided that the investment bank will probably see revenue decline by about a third, which would be at the very high end of what we've seen at U.S. firms. So quite a mixed picture.
Coming up today on the U.S. earnings front, we get a look at the oil services sector with the results from Halliburton. They're due out later this morning. Karen.
Thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Bloomberg's John Metaxas.
Hospice facilities that serve Medicare patients could receive a 2.7% payment hike in fiscal year 2020, according to a proposal by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Two mothers and several nonprofit groups are suing the EPA over a final rule barring the production and sale of some paint strippers. The suit alleges the rule fails to protect public health. And Japan's Prime Minister Abe will visit President Trump amid accelerated trade talks between the two countries. Mr. Trump is under pressure from the agriculture industry to crack open Japan's market.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, John, thank you. And now in other legal news we're watching this morning, as American consumers seek quality over quantity in their beer, the world's two biggest brewers are locked in a legal battle. Anheuser-Busch and Heineken are fighting over who invented key parts of a new way to deliver draft beer that allows for smaller batches and eliminates the need for traditional steel kegs. For more on this story, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg News patent reporter Susan Decker.
Anheuser-Busch and Heineken have each come out with these systems that are kind of countertop systems to give you draft beer without the really complicated tap systems that big bars have. And each one wants to introduce their products into the market and says, nope, you know, it's kind of a, your chocolate, you put your chocolate into my peanut butter. Anheuser-Busch says it has patents on the canisters that hold the beer. And Heineken says, well, we have patents on the dispenser lines that actually dispense the beer. And they filed patent infringement complaints against each other at the International Trade Commission. We have trials from now until May where each one is trying to get the other one out of the U.S. market.
According to your story, the companies had discussed licensing each other's patents until InBev filed its patent case at the trade agency?
That's the way Heineken put it, that there was genial conversations about cross-licensing. And AB InBev's lawyer got up very indignant and said, no, these were not happy talks. These were actually settlement discussions that Heineken approached us trying to reach a deal, and we weren't able to reach a deal, and that's why there was a lawsuit. The first of the complaints was filed.
Do you have any indication if one side has a stronger argument than the other?
It's hard to tell. It is hard to tell, but historically there's a couple reasons why you will file at the International Trade Commission. One, of course, is the fact that it's speed. We'll have a final decision in this case, in both these cases, in January, which is much faster than district court. The International Trade Commission also has a history of being a little more friendly to patent owners, so it would not be unheard of for the commission to say, nope, some of your products are being blocked, and some of your products are being blocked, and you both win, or both lose, as it were.
And that's Bloomberg News patent reporter Susan Decker speaking to June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures are lower this morning, down about 8 points. Dow futures down 68, NASDAQ futures down 25, and most European markets remain closed today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong also closed. The Nikkei 225 in Japan was up about a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.56%. The yield on the 2-year at 2.37%, and the 30-year yield at 2.97%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.33%, up $1.51 to $65.51 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.40 at $1,281.40 an ounce. The euro at 1.1249 against the dollar. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.